Chapter 3, Planetary and Human Centers. There is a factor bearing upon the etheric body to which very little reference has ever been made, the reason being it would have been utterly useless information. Let me embody it in a tabulated statement, beginning with a few points earlier imparted, but which should here be repeated for clarity and placed in proper sequence. 1. The planetary logos works through the medium of the three major centers. A. The center where the will of God is known, Shambhala. B. The center where the love of God is manifest, the hierarchy. C. The center where the intelligence of God is producing the evolutionary process, humanity. 2. The three major centers, both planetary and human, exist in etheric substance, and they may or may not produce physical correspondences. All the masters, for instance, do not work through a physical vehicle. They nevertheless have an etheric body composed of the substance of the cosmic etheric levels, buddhic, atmic, monadic, and logoic levels, and these levels are the four cosmic ethers, the higher correspondents of our etheric planes. These higher levels are the four levels of the cosmic physical plane. Until they choose, at the sixth initiation of decision, one of the seven paths of ultimate destiny, the masters function in their cosmic etheric bodies. These three major energy centers are closely related to each other, and through his own individual major centers, the head, the heart, and the throat, the disciple is in relation with the three planetary centers. I would have you ponder on this statement, for it has practical value. 3. The monad, as you know, is to be found on the cosmic second etheric level, called the monadic plane. When the antakarana has been built, then cosmic etheric substance can be slowly substituted for the ordinary and familiar etheric substance which substands the dense physical body of a man. 4. The ray upon which the monad is to be found, one of the three major rays and therefore related to one of the three major centers, conditions A. The disciple's absorption into one of the three departments of hierarchical work, i.e., a first-ray soul will go normally into such an ashram as that of the Master M in the department of the Manu. A second-ray disciple will pass into a second-ray ashram such as mine, DK, or that of the Master KH, and therefore into the department of the Christ. A third-ray soul will be absorbed into one of the ashrams, and there are many, functioning under the Lord of Civilization, the Master R. B. All who come into incarnation upon one of the rays of attribute, the fourth, fifth, sixth, and seventh rays, find their way finally onto one of the three major rays of aspect. The changes of shifts in ray focus are made when the etheric body has in it an adequate measure of the substance of the lowest of the cosmic ethers, the buddhic substance. This is basic for all, on all the rays, for at the end of the age, when cosmic etheric substance composes the etheric vehicles of the initiate, the three rays become the two rays, and later another absorption takes place into the second ray of love wisdom, which is the ray of our present solar system. You can see, therefore, what conditioning factors the various energies become when appropriated and used, and how their substance, or rather the presence of certain energies in the etheric body of the personality, are nonsense, and there is, of course, no possible way in which I can prove to you the factual nature of this intercommunicating system, or in which you can check and confirm what I say. But then, my brothers, you have no way as yet of ascertaining the factual existence of Sanat Kumara, and yet from the very night of time his existence has been proclaimed by the hierarchy and accepted by millions. Every human being believes a great deal more than he can prove, or the validity of which he can establish. The centers are, in reality, those crossing points of energies where the etheric body possesses seven triangles or transformed points. From the angle of Shambhala, the centers in a human being resemble a triangle with a point at the center. From the angle of hierarchy, conditions are somewhat different. You have the seven centers portrayed as lotuses with varying numbers of petals. Nevertheless, there is always preserved and recognizably present a triangle at the very heart of the lotus. Always there is the triangle with its communicating point, and to this we give the name the jewel in the lotus. You have therefore the following symbolic presentation of the lotus, and you would do well to study it with care. The personality of the man is conditioned by the circle, which is the emanating influence of the lotus, and an interplay is thereby set up. The lotus itself is conditioned by the soul, and in its turn conditions the sphere of influence in the aura of the lotus, thus reaching into and conditioning the personality life. The triangle is conditioned by the spiritual triad, when the antikarana is built or in process of building, and in its turn first of all inspires or fires the soul, and then finally destroys it. The dot at the center is indicative of monadic life, first of all in its lowest expression of physical life and vitality, and finally as the point of sensitivity. Therefore we have 1. The point at the center indicative of the monadic life, 2. The related energies of the egoic lotus conditioned by the soul, 3. The sphere of radiation, the emanating influence of the lotus conditioning the personality, 4. The triangle of energy conditioned by the spiritual triad. The foregoing instruction on the etheric body is not long, but it contains much that is relatively new and provides much food for assimilation.